I'm Arun Vanigopal in for Tanzina Vega, and you're back with The Takeaway. At Friday's Democratic debate in New Hampshire, the seven qualifying presidential candidates addressed an issue that's been notably absent from the campaign trail so far.
I've lived in an America in which abortion was illegal, and rich women still got abortions. And that's what we have to remember about this. Three out of every four people in America believe right now that the rule of Roe versus Wade should be the law.
I will never nominate any person to the Supreme Court or the federal courts in general who is not 100% pro Roe v. Wade.
I would only appoint judges that would respect precedent, and one of those key precedents is Roe v. Wade.
Those were Senators Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Amy Klobuchar responding to a debate moderator's question on whether or not they'd appoint Supreme Court nominees who oppose abortion rights. Almost all the candidates on stage went out of their way to reaffirm their support of abortion rights. But during past elections, Democratic presidential candidates were not so explicit in their support of the issue. They used softer language when talking about abortion in an effort to appeal to all sorts of voters, including those who oppose abortion rights. For more on this, we turn to Mary Ziegler, law professor at Florida State University and the author of several books about abortion, including Abortion and the Law in America, Roe v. Wade to the Present, which comes out in March. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Arun. How are you?
Why has the issue of abortion become a yes or no test for Democrats today?
I think the Democratic Party's shift on the issue in part mirrors a shift in the broader abortion rights movement. The abortion rights movement for many years has been focused, I think, in large part on political relevance and political success, and for that reason often prioritized messages and strategies that were designed to appeal to the largest number of people. And that meant sometimes strategies that didn't reflect the principles that had brought some people into the movement in the first place. Many listeners might remember the safe, legal, and rare language of the 90s that Bill Clinton and Nir all made famous.
Sure.
There were organizations that kind of mobilized outside of these larger, often kind of D.C.-based groups like Nir all and Planned Parenthood, often led by non-white women, that demanded kind of both a broader agenda, not a single-issue agenda, and a different message, one involving reproductive justice rather than choice. Those groups had an influence on the D.C. organizations, and the D.C. organizations in turn have had an influence on the Democratic Party. It's also, I think, kind of part of a broader story about a progressive shift in the Democratic Party on a variety of issues, not just limited to abortion.
So you're saying that this idea we hear about intersectionality is actually reflected in the platform of the party?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think significantly not just in the platform of the party, but also in the work of larger, richer abortion rights or reproductive rights organizations.
How much of this is a response to the increasing restrictions we've been seeing on abortion on a statewide level over the last few years?
There's definitely, I think, more energy and more interest in the issue. Not just because of the restrictions, but because the restrictions are actually a realistic snapshot of what might be coming if the court does, in fact, overrule Roe v. Wade. States have been considering and passing restrictions for some time, but it didn't really matter in the same way in the past because everyone knew that the Supreme Court would simply strike them down. We don't know that anymore. So often when the question of the legality of abortion is on the table, rather than simply questions of access, people who support abortion rights are more energized and I think more open to a broader agenda or a more kind of sweeping message.
This is what seems to be the paradox for me. On one hand, the threat to abortion rights for women who want the right to abortions is, I guess, looming larger than it was several years ago. And yet you don't hear as much conversation, at least on the Democratic side, as you might have in previous years.
Yeah, I think that the Democrats in some ways find themselves in a politically tricky position because for supporters of legal abortion, it's pretty favorable terrain to be fighting about whether Roe v. Wade should be overturned and whether abortion should be criminalized. Lots of polling suggests that Americans don't want abortion to be criminalized and don't want Roe v. Wade to be overturned. That wouldn't have been true, by contrast, if you're talking about, for example, restrictions on later abortions, which Americans who support abortion rights oppose, but many Americans in the middle might be more comfortable with. So on the one hand, Democrats find themselves in a good position in terms of where the focal point of the struggle is. On the other hand, when you look at primary voters, they often want their candidates to take more absolute stands on abortion rights and to oppose any restrictions. For example, the Hyde Amendment, which is an abortion funding ban. So Democrats may have strategic reasons for avoiding the issue because they have to navigate the desires of party voters and movement loyalists on the one hand, and the desire to appeal to potentially swing voters and independents in the general election. And one way to do that is just not to talk about abortion as much early on in the election.
We did see Amy Klobuchar say yesterday that Democrats should be a big tent party and that it should include anti-abortion Democrats. How do her views square with those of her opponents?
I think for the most part, her opponents view being supportive of abortion rights as a kind of necessary ingredient of being a Democrat. And there are arguments, I think, on both sides of that. I think from a principle standpoint, there are many Democrats who see reproductive rights as a sort of quintessential social justice issue and think that you can't be for what the party stands for if you do not support those rights. There's a strategic calculation, too, which is, I think, that the party believes that to sort of consolidate the support of base Democratic voters, a candidate has to be strongly in support of abortion rights and not willing to be a big tent candidate. I think there's also strategic considerations and probably value-based considerations behind Klobuchar's position as well. Obviously, there are some voters who might lean Democratic but be opposed to abortion who may refuse to vote for a Democrat or a Republican if both parties seem to have closed the doors on those voters.
Mary Ziegler is a law professor at Florida State University. Mary, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.